Of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hi, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the October 2025 issue of Southern Living Magazine. Today, we will finish up the story we began last episode about a long weekend in Kentucky's capital, Frankfort. Just a little bit more to go on that. Then we'll slip in a recipe for 7-layer dip. And then we'll move on to the secret side of the Smokies. And that's Cataluchi Ranch in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. Which, by the way, is on the cover of this magazine, listeners. The cover of the magazine is overlooking the Smokies, and the Smokies are covered in a velvety-looking array of autumn leaves, autumn colors, every shade of red from apple to wine, and all sorts of golds and sunshine yellows and golds. And that is on this, the Smokies, and in the background you can see some of the bit of a blue ridge there where they look blue in the background. But it's also in the foreground is a cabin, and there are two people at a picnic table, appears to be a man and a woman, outside the cabin on some lime green grass in contrast to all the beautiful colors. And there is also some lime green and moss green shrubbery around this little front yard. And this is Cataluchi Ranch in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. So we'll hear more about that later. The cover from top to bottom reads, Southern Living in gold against a blue sky. Fall getaways, weekend escapes full of color and charm. Friendliest places in the South. The heart of bourbon country. Old-fashioned apple desserts. Cozy dinners for cool nights. And then down on the bottom it says, plus the comfort of low country purlieu. All right, we ready? We'll finish now our story that we began last episode. This is in the section of the magazine called The South. And the magazine's divided into home, in season, the South, basically four sections. I'm missing one. Let's see, which one did I miss? The kitchen, of course. How could I forget? Okay, those are the four sections of the magazine, and we try to hit one piece in each section whenever we can for each episode. All right, and this is Long Weekend, Falling for Frankfort. Come for the bourbon distilleries and stay for the history, nature, and food in Kentucky's capital city. And we were at the last segment of this, and it is Nature Break. Frankfort has both steep hillsides and low valleys along the Kentucky River, which runs through the heart of the city. Several spots around town provide stunning overlooks of the modern state capital, framed by fall foliage and the winding riverbank, including, perhaps most notably, Daniel Boone's gravesite, which sits on a hill crest at the Frankfort Cemetery. Cove Spring Park has 3 miles of hiking trails on a 240-acre preserve right in the city. Even non-outdoorsy types will like a quick trip here because there are picnic tables and a lovely waterfall to enjoy within eyeshot of the entrance parking lot. Just a short drive away, Josephine Sculpture Park sprinkles accessible displays of more than 70 creative works along well-maintained paths, so you can get in your steps for the day and net some art appreciation points at the same time. If that isn't quite your style, West Sixth Farm delivers an alternative, a post-type beer. Located less than 10 miles from downtown, the large site features its own hop field, an apple orchard, a fishing pond, and 4 miles of trails that are open for public hiking or mountain biking. Plus, easy access to brewery favorites such as its ever-popular West Sixth IPA. Fresh from a walk in the woods and hopefully showered in clean clothes, cap off your day with an upscale dinner at Limewater. It operates out of the Glenn Willis House, a renovated 1815 home that has patio views of the Kentucky River just a stone's throw away. The restaurant opened in 2022 and features a rotating seasonal menu, as well as craft cocktails like their signature old-fashioned, the 1815. It's run by husband and wife co-owners, Chef Axel Wheeler and Isabel Hay. She is a direct descendant of, you guessed it, E.H. Taylor, proving once again that in Frankfort, bourbon history runs deep. And there's a photo here, listeners, of Sweet Spots, a small photo of a woman in front of some delicious-looking sweets behind the window. Can't see quite what they are, but here's the caption. Old Frankfort Pike makes a lovely autumn drive. Sarah Boo, B-O-O-E, is the fourth generation of her family to run Rebecca Ruth Candies. So that's who that must be there. Lovely woman with long black hair. And adjacent to that is a picture of the old Frankfort Pike that is running through green fields dotted with trees of crimson red and sunny orange and a little bit of sunlight yellow as well. And those trees are framing or dividing what appears to be farmland. It's spring green, it looks like, even though it's autumn. I guess it's the same color in spring or autumn, these grasses. And that's a nice view along the Old Frankfort Pike. Old Frankfort Pike. All right, are we ready for a short recipe for our 7-layer dip? Snack time are the words that begin this page. It's a full page here, and the entire recipe is on the page. Also on the page is a photo of the recipe in a skillet. Skillet has blue handles and a long wooden handle extending from one side. And it is sitting upon a wooden round tray, which is covered by a cornflower blue tablecloth or tea towel, looks like. Just the side of it that appears to be used just to put the skillet down properly. And the skillet's filled with what is our 7-layer dip. And it is golden. Golden with layers of some, let's see, well, I'm thinking a bourbon-colored brown. We'll see if there's any of that in there. But it's also topped with several pieces of tomato and scallions. And it looks delicious. And then there's also, bleeding off the right side of the page, a bowl of tortilla chips. And here we go. Layer up. Go for game day with a dip that's delicious from top to bottom. Southern 7-layer dip. The active time and the total time to prepare this dish is 30 minutes, and it serves 10. Here are our ingredients. 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 16-ounce package of hickory-smoked sausage, such as Kaneka, I'm going to spell it, listeners, because I'm not sure I pronounced it correctly. It's C-O-N-E-C-U-H. It's capitalized. It might be a brand name. And that's, you want that chopped, that's hickory smoked sausage, and you want that chopped. It's about 3 cups here. 1/3 cup of red pepper jelly. 1 15½-ounce can of black-eyed peas, drained and rinsed. 1 11-ounce can of Mexican-style corn, drained. 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt, divided. 1 8-ounce package of cream cheese, softened. 1 cup of chow chow, drained. 2 small tomatoes, cored and chopped, about 1 2/3 cups. And 1 11-ounce container of pimiento cheese and some thinly sliced scallions and, of course, tortilla chips. And here we go with our steps. Step 1. Heat oil in a 10-inch cast iron skillet over medium high. Add sausage and cook, stirring occasionally, until browned, about 8 minutes. Remove from heat, discard drippings. Set aside 1½ tablespoons of cooked sausage for topping. Leave remaining sausage in the skillet. Step 2. Return the skillet to the stove over medium-high heat and add pepper jelly. Cook, stirring constantly until jelly melts and coats the sausage, about 25 seconds. Remove from heat. Spread sausage mixture in an even layer in the bottom of the skillet. Step 3. Place black-eyed peas in a small bowl. Mash with a fork until no whole peas remain. If needed, add 1 tablespoon of water to make the peas easier to mash. Spoon the mashed black-eyed peas over the sausage. Spread in an even layer with the back of a spoon. Set aside 2 tablespoons of corn and sprinkle remaining corn and 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt over the black-eyed pea layer. Spread cream cheese over the corn. Spread chow chow over the cream cheese. Set aside 1 tablespoon of tomatoes. Sprinkle remaining tomatoes and 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt over the chow chow. Spread pimiento cheese over the tomatoes. Top with reserved sausage, corn, and tomatoes. Garnish with scallions and serve with tortilla chips. Happy eating! And now, listeners, on to the secret side of the Smokies. There's no better place to unplug than Cataloochee Ranch and the mountain communities in western North Carolina. And we have a double-page photo here, listeners, of the mountains. And in the background, they're blurred, but there is, you can see faintly there are those autumn colors from wine red, apple red, orange, and some sunshine yellows, primarily reds and several different shades. And in the foreground, we see 3 people on horseback traveling up the sauntering up the ridge of the mountain in the foreground here. There are some autumn leaves fallen on the dying grasses, but they're tall, kind of tall, the grasses. They go up, some go up to the horse's knees. And the first one, they're what do you call brindle colored? They're double colored brown and white horses. The first one is primarily brown and white on her underside or his underside, and they are sitting upon them they are western saddles. But I can't say that for sure. I'm not a horsewoman, but there is a woman on this horse who is. She is riding the horse, and she's wearing a white cowgirl hat. She has on a green jacket. She's got long brown hair and blue jeans and a white shirt beneath her jacket. They're traveling slowly. In the middle, behind her, is, and just going up in the center of this photo, so it's on two pages, the horse's head is on the left page, and the rest of the horse is on the right page, including the rider, who is a man with a slight beard and mustache, and a cowboy hat, brown jacket, white trousers, and that horse is brown with a white mane and white legs just past its knees. And then behind them, a little further down on the ridge, is a man coming up. He is looking behind him, and he has on a brown hat, brown cowboy hat, green jacket, and his horse is very dark brown, or almost black, really, with a brown mane. And he's looking behind him at the mountains down below from where they came. All right, here's our story. Tom Alexander's initial experience in the western North Carolina mountains left such an impression that even after work whisked him down to Florida, he found his way back. Eventually, the Georgia-born forester built a life and a nearly 100-year legacy around introducing visitors to the very same peaks he first fell in love with. His vision began in the early 1930s, when Great Smoky Mountains National Park was in its fledgling days. An avid outdoorsman, Alexander was hosting fishing camps in the area when a park superintendent offered to lease him an existing homestead inside the park. The resulting guest lodge was the predecessor for his life's work, Cataloochee Ranch. After a short stint in Florida, he and his wife, Judy, returned to build the ranch on a 685-acre potato farm on the boundary line of the national park in 1933. A couple of things have changed since Cataloochee first opened. The national park went from being lesser known to becoming the country's most visited, welcoming 12.2 million people in 2024 alone. The Alexander family, who stewarded their patriarch's operation for more than eight decades, eventually passed it into the capable hands of Annie and David Colquitt, owners of the nearby luxury resort, The Swag, in 2020. When the Colquitts took over, they had a plan to introduce modern comforts to the historic property, but their bigger concern was keeping its integrity in place. As Mary Coker, one of the Alexander's granddaughters, said in an interview following the purchase, "The feel was that if you have the heart and soul of Miss Judy and Mr. Tom, then everything else was the spokes of the wheel." A word to describe the transformation is intentional. Each of the 11 original guest cabins was redesigned with a seamless mix of modern and rustic furnishings. The TVs were removed, Wi-Fi remains, but Nespresso machines, plush robes, and heated bathroom floors were added. Turndown service includes a creative bite made by the resort's pastry chef and displayed under a glass cloche. On my last night, a photo that a staff member snapped of me on my first morning was displayed in a wooden frame as a keepsake. "The ranch has been a special place for guests for almost a century," Annie says. "We want this beautiful land to be a spot for families to relax, reconnect, and recreate for the next 100 years, too. In all of the decisions, we tried to take this big picture, long-term view for the property." And listeners, there's a full-page photo here adjacent to where this story begins. And it is looking at a town nestled into those mountains described earlier. We're close. We have a close-up now. We're in the valley of one of the mountains. You might be able to guess which it is. We'll tell you in a moment. And here, the golden sunny yellows and oranges are predominating. A little bit more than the reds. Those are in the background more. And here in the foreground is a patchwork quilt-looking kind of town. The roads going in between green fields upon which the houses and a church are placed. Almost as though they were planted there. And there is also a small photo of one of those pastries, it looks like. We'll find out in a moment. It's green, and it has a reddish flower-looking thing on the top of it, but layers of green and strawberries, it appears to be. Yes, layers of lettuce and strawberries. And then another photo of one of the guest rooms. It's got an Indian print quilt on the bed. They are like dark blues, almost like navy blues, almost. Plaid rug in white and navy blue. And the furniture is wooden. It looks like oak. It's a light colored, or maple. It's a honey-colored wood, is the two end tables, night tables, bedside tables. And the headboard consists of that might be it's also a dark honey-colored, might be a blanket hung over. No, it is, yeah. It's a honey-colored wooden bedboard as well. And then there are pictures that look to be quilts of blue and white on the wall in the background. Here's the caption to those photos. Mountain Spirit, from left, from the first photo we mentioned, that is, of course, quaint Maggie Valley, is part of North Carolina's secret side of the Smokies. At Cataluchi Ranch, Chef Jeb Aldrich serves hearty fare such as steaks plus seasonal dishes like pork belly with kohlrabi. The ranch has a main lodge for overnight guests as well as 11 cabins outfitted with every comfort except TVs. All right, back to our story, listeners. Inside the renovated main ranch house, you'll find Switchback, where Chef Jeb Aldrich serves an ever-changing menu of elevated high country fare to guests, as well as locals looking for a special night out. The soaring structure is also where you check in and inquire about new resort experiences, such as day-long horseback rides, fishing, ropes course adventures, archery, heritage craft projects like leatherwork and pottery, and monthly history lessons with guest speakers. If you're lucky, expert in residence Stephen Reinhold will be hosting a guided hike or local lore talk during your stay. And the Colquitts didn't stop there. Other amenities include a luxurious spa, a new gym, a golf simulator, and a mercantile that's complete with a custom hat bar, a gift shop, and a soft serve counter. A ride to remember. Mr. Tom might not have envisioned the expensive sheets and gourmet dinners now offered at the ranch, but something tells me that if he were still alive, he'd be proud to see that little else has changed. Old photos of the property reveal a landscape untouched by time. From the front porch of my weekend home, I had a panoramic view of the property's rolling hills dotted with wooden cabins, towering spruce trees, small fishing ponds, and Adirondack chairs that circle fire pits. Across the valley sat a two-story barn where caramel-colored and chestnut-spotted horses, plus a storybook white one, were lined up along the wooden fence. After polishing off a buttery croissant and a cup of hot tea, which had been delivered picnic-style to my front door that morning, I set out for the barn where my steed awaited. I quickly got acquainted with a 15-year-old horse named Emily, before hitting the trail. During the four-hour trip, I was just along for the ride as my steady and surprisingly conscientious companion led me through old-growth forests, dense with magnolia leaves, and over open rock faces with stunning mountain vistas. Our guide, Mary Garnes, who works at Cataluchi alongside her mom, barn manager Tracy Reed, peppered in interesting facts about the land we were traversing and the magnificent creatures who were doing the heavy lifting for us. Both mother and daughter grew up on the ranch. Reed got her first gig at Cataluchi at the age of 19 in 1996 and has never tired of the work. I think it's the best job in the world. You get to be with the horses and see the beautiful mountains, she says. I miss it when I'm away for even a little while. At one point during our trip, Garn's sprightly pooch, Sadi, hopped on to the back of her horse and hitched a ride for the remainder of the journey. From the top of Hemphill Bald, our midway destination, where the signature blue haze of the Smokies stretched for miles and put on a glorious display, it was easy to see why Mr. Tom got mountain fever and why so many others have inherited his love of the land. Every time we are there, a different spot or perspective captures me, David says. It is beautiful in every direction, and the land sits so magically. And there are a few, four photos here, listeners. And I'll read the caption first so we can see what we're going to be looking at here. Small town treasures. Enjoy upscale food at Singletree Heritage Kitchen. And that is a picture of, looks like a salad on a white plate. Lake Junaluska's Stewart Auditorium dates back to 1913. Maggie Valley Fly Shop offers guided fishing trips. And hike to scenic Saco Falls. Haywood Handmade Gallery sells works by local artists. And there's a picture of an artist, an art at work in the gallery. And the picture of the Saco Falls, which are, of course, surrounded by golds, all sorts of golden, it looks like ferns, as well as hardwood trees there with some reds mixed in. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Southern Living. I hope you enjoyed it and hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForger, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. So long until next time. Thank you.